Let's pray as we dive into God's word this morning. Father, we are just desperate for you. Lord, we've come through a year that for many of us has tested us in pretty extreme ways. And Lord, as we enter this new year of 2021, our hearts and our souls cry out for you. We're like that deer by the water brook panting after you, God. Desiring you, hungering and thirsting for you. Thirsting for your words, Lord. Man doesn't live by bread alone. He lives by the word of God. We want your fresh word, your fresh manna. Speak to our hearts, stir our spirits, and lead us, God, into this new year in a deeper level of intimacy with you than ever before. We just humble ourselves before you. Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I'm going to ask some of our ushers to come quickly. We've got an all-star usher team today. They're amazing, and they've got a number of things that I'd like for them to hand out to you that are resources to help you in this time of fasting. We're not just asking you to, you know, give up food and do this on your own. We've got a number of things that'll be helpful for you. Let me run through them quickly. 21 days of prayer and fasting, prayer cards. I see a couple up on the board already back there, and we're hoping to fill that board up, and throughout the 21 days, we'll be praying over these needs. I'll tell you a little more about that in a bit. This little sheet's called Encourage Your Personal Renewal with Prayer and Fasting. Some great insight there that'll help you. On the other side, the apprentice prayer from my friend, Dr. Bill Gaultier, that I'd encourage you to pray every day. I think that would be a blessing to you. Another sheet called Return to Me with some key scriptures, and then our focus each day of the week as we're praying and seeking the Lord together through this time. And then another sheet just simply entitled The Beginning of a New Year is an Ideal Time to Stop, Look Up, and Get Our Bearings. 10 really important questions that I think would bless you if you took time to answer them in God's presence. And then lastly, a sheet called Praying for Those Who Need God. 5 things biblically that'll help you to be able to pray with a little more insight and power for your lost loved ones and friends this season. So, ushers, thank you. Give the ushers a good hand for serving us. They'll be back in a little while with another little thing for you. But let's dive into God's Word. Let me just say this as we begin today, okay? No better place to begin than in prayer and fasting for this new year of 2021. It's really interesting. Some of us, you know, I think maybe I'm going to start marketing a t-shirt. I survived 2020. I think that'd be a big seller. What do you think? If I were to, I just called it 21 Days of Fasting and Prayer. If I were to give a subtitle of the message today, it's Return to Me, Return to My First Love. Return to Your First Love. And I want to say this as I begin today, that first things have the power to affect the rest. And this is so important today as we dive in, as we start to talk about seeking God in this new year. Order is important. The order of things is important. And God really makes that clear in His Word. There's a number of ways that He does that He wants to be first in all things in your heart and in your life. He doesn't want to be third. He doesn't want to be fifth. He certainly doesn't want to be 14th. And it's really interesting because sometimes we get busy and our priorities get mixed up. And this is a great time of the year, and fasting is a great way to reprioritize our hearts and our spirits before God. The order in our lives of things is important. God wants to be first in all things. Psalm 90 is a great scripture for us to begin with today. A lot of the Psalms written by King David, but this one, interestingly enough, is written by Moses, a man who was a friend with God. And he said a couple of really powerful things in this short verse. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. 2 things he's saying here that are really powerful as we start today. That first of all, we're to number our days. Listen, your days are running out. Do you realize that? We're running out of time. The Bible says we're a mist. The Bible says we're like a flower that blooms up in the sun and then wilts later in the day. Our days are short. We talk about, is this the last times? I don't know for sure, but I know this is our last days. How are we going to make our lives count? I want you to really think about that as we're entering into this new year. You and I don't know how many years we have left, but I know this. I want my years to count for God. I want to make a difference with this one life I have. Second, we need a heart of wisdom if we're going to do that. The Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Oh, that we might recapture a sense of the fear of God in the church today. One of the things that grieves me so deeply is we have gone into such an incredible focus on the love of God that we've forgotten anything about the fear of God. You know, when you fear God, everything else you can push it aside because your primary focus, your heart's desire is Him and Him alone. You're not concerned about what other people think. You're concerned about what He thinks first and foremost. The fear of the Lord's the beginning of wisdom. We live in a day and a time where there is an avalanche of knowledge. We're being overwhelmed literally with knowledge. We have a little device that we carry around that at our fingertips, there's more knowledge than all of the ancient libraries in the world. It's amazing the amount of knowledge we can access so quickly. And yet most of us have no idea how to really apply that knowledge. We're just overwhelmed by it. But wisdom, which begins with the fear of God, helps us to take the knowledge and know how to apply it. That is what wisdom is. It's applying knowledge to live out our values and to bring glory to God. Let me just say to you this morning, you're not just a physical being. Do you realize that? You're a spiritual being first and foremost. You can make all kinds of New Year's resolutions dealing with your physical being. You can, you know, decide to lose weight, to exercise more, to pay down your debt, to learn how to play the guitar. All those things are good things. They're cool and good. But what about your spirit? As you stand here on the precipice of this new year, the beginning of this new year, what are you going to do to build your spirit in this new year? Or are you going to once again live a year that's primarily lived in the flesh and that isn't primarily about pleasing God? We might need to reorder things so that our spirit is first over our physical. If you were strong spiritually, let me just say this, it would affect in an incredibly positive way every other thing that you sought to do this year. In fact, if you were strong spiritually, it would help you in all those other quests. God needs to be first, folks, in all things. 21 days to set aside at the beginning of the year to seek His heart is not really asking too much. It's like a tithe of our year saying, God, You are first in all things, and You have the power as we honor You, as we seek You, as we lay our lives afresh before You to bless the rest. When you have things in the right order, let me tell you, it affects everything else in your life. First things have the power to affect the rest. Some might say, well, Pastor Jeff, 21 days, that's pretty aggressive. Listen, I don't know about you, but I want to go after God. I want to seek Him with all of my heart. I don't want to recoil back. I don't want to become passive. I don't want to pull back. I want to push in. I want to pursue Him. I believe that if you and I will go after God like we've never gone after Him before, we'll see His power unleashed like we've never seen it before. So let's talk about fasting and prayer and how to be a part. Six key things this morning. The first one is simply this: set your prayer objectives. I'm going to pull out that prayer card again. Listen, don't just fill out one of these. Fill out four or five of them, okay? What are you praying about? What are you seeking the Lord for? What is God, what breakthrough, what level of walk with God are you desiring? What is it that's on your heart that you need to really seek the Lord about in these 21 days? Put it on the card, put it on the board. We'll join with you in praying and believing God for breakthrough in that area. That would be our privilege and our honor to pray with you. Don't just fast because I'm asking you to. Set some objectives. What are the things that you need to see a breakthrough in? Is it your healing, a healing need? Is it your finances? Is it a lost loved one like we talked about? I mean, let's go for it. Let's trust that God is still the healer. God is still the miracle worker. God can bring a breakthrough. He hasn't closed up shop. He's still moving and working in the hearts of those who seek him with all their heart. Let's declare our dependence on him. Let's reorder our lives. Let's ask for forgiveness where there needs to be forgiveness. Let's ask God to show us, in fact, any sin in our lives, just like David did. God, search me and try me, see if there be any wicked way or offensive way in me. Let's rise up. Let's pray for the completion of the Great Commission in our generation. Amen, Ethan? Let's believe God to see the world reached with the love of Christ. Listen, there is nothing else that's going to bring about peace and harmony in our world except Jesus being on the throne of every heart. I want to see our community touched for Christ. I want to see Louisville, Kentucky indelibly touched with the love of God. I want to see our world touched with the love of God. I've got something else I'm going to ask the ushers to come and give you this morning, just a symbolic representation, something for you to hold on to and to remember to pray with, okay, to pray for. How many of you here this morning would say, Pastor Jeff, there's somebody in my life that I can identify, I've got them in my mind right now, they don't know you and they really need you. A lost loved one, a lost family member, a lost friend, a lost coworker. Raise your hand, I want to see. Yeah, almost every one of us. I want to give you something here this morning. Just hold on to it and let it be a prayer reminder. It's a little red lifesaver. I'm throwing you a lifesaver. And you're throwing them a lifesaver. Don't smell it because it smells really good. It's cherry. You're going, Pastor Jeff, you're calling us to fast and you're giving us food. Don't eat this. This is not to eat. This is a prayer reminder. All right? And here you go. How about an incentive? When that person gets saved, then you can eat it, okay? Pray and seek the Lord. And that sheet that I encourage you to get a hold of, that how to pray for a lost loved one, will help you. James 4, 2 and 3 says this, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives. You may spend what you get on your own pleasures. You know, this time of fasting and prayer is not a time to try to twist God's arm to do something that you want. You know what? You combine right objectives with right motives and watch God move. Number two, decide what kind of fasting you will do. There's all kinds of different ways to fast. I'm just encouraging you to join this body in this quest over these 21 days. Enter in whatever way you can, whatever way God calls you to, okay? For some, it'll look different. It'll be different levels. There's a total fast, which is water only. Listen, if you're going to do that, you really need to probably walk that through with your doctor and make sure you're ready for that. That's a pretty tough thing for a long time, believe me. But it's incredible. It's an incredible thing too. How about a juice fast? That's where you add in a little juice to the water so that you have a little bit of strength, and that can help you to get through some long days. A Daniel fast, where you don't eat any pleasant foods. Daniel fasted for 21 days and just ate basically fruits and vegetables, nothing rich, nothing pleasant. A partial fast, maybe one meal a day, two meals a day, no sweets, or what we might call even a soul fast, where you give up social media, TV, anything like that, and you just concentrate that time on seeking God's heart. Listen, if this is your church, let's all do something. Let's be together on this. Number three, make it a heart thing and not a food thing. You've got to really be intentional about this, because quite honestly, as soon as you start to fast, your mind's going to be flooded with thoughts of food. If you don't put that down and you don't take captive those thoughts, you'll just think about food, food, food 24 hours a day until you give in and go get more food. Now, I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed these days of feasting. I mean, it's been a crazy feast around my home. The other day, somebody gave me a bag of that white chocolate peppermint bark. Now, why do they call it bark? Because it doesn't taste like a tree at all, believe me. It tastes really, really good. I ate the whole bag. And you know what? I've been feasting like crazy, but I am sick of feasting. I mean, in all honesty, I'm sick of going to bed at night and my stomach gurgling and problems there. And I'm going, man, I have really allowed my flesh to enjoy this time. I'm ready to focus my heart and my body and my mind and everything on the Lord. There's a time for feasting, but there's a time for fasting too. Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, powerful verses. Listen to this. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. This last week, Tracy and I talked about keeping an eye on the shore and how easy it is to drift. And 2020 has been a challenging year for a lot of people. Maybe one of the things that you've been challenged by is just drifting along in kind of passivity, trying to wait the season out. But let me tell you, it's time to get intentional. It's time to go after God. It's time to return to Him with all of your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning, to rend your heart before Him. Fasting is a heart thing. It's not a food thing. It's about seeking God with all of your heart. It's about going after Him with all of your heart. And the fasting part helps us in that. So just don't make it a food thing. God wants your heart. If you don't make this a time to seek Him with all of your heart, then you'll just have made it into a painful diet, to be quite honest. Make it about seeking Him. Number four, put to death your flesh. Put to death your flesh. This is probably, out of all the points I'll give you today, the real purpose of fasting. You and I, we live in the most abundant country on the face of the earth, the richest country. We have so much at our disposal constantly that sometimes we really lose sight of denying our flesh. There's not many of us that miss a meal. There's more than enough. And one of the things that convicted me greatly in the book Beautiful Resistance, John Tyson is talking about a friend from another country that comes to visit. These words just seared my heart when I read them and heard them and thought about them. And he took his friend around. His friend attended church. His friend, looked around New York City. And John Tyson asked him, "What do you think? What do you think? What's your response? What's your reflection?" And he said it very, very succinctly, but very powerfully. He said, "So much food, so little power. So much food, so little power." You and I were, let's just be honest, we're not used to going without. We like to indulge. We have a thing called foodies, right? We watch for the new restaurant, the new place, the cool place, the stuff, Man, let's go there. Let's try that. Tracy and I, one time a few years back, when Tracy was working outside the house, we were trying to get the church established. We had a friend from India come visit us, and I was taking him around and spending time with him, and it was precious, and everybody ought to have a good friend from India, I'm telling you. And we went to pick Tracy up at her work. I don't know if you know this, but my wife has a degree in dietetics, and she was working at Jenny Craig at that time, and she was a counselor with people to help them lose weight. And I pulled up there to pick her up as her work shift was ending, and I'm sitting in the car with my Indian friend, and he says, "Now, what kind of work does your wife do?" And I said, "Well, my wife helps people who've gained too much weight to be able to lose weight." Let me just tell you, he looked at me cross-eyed. He's like, "Really? In my country, people are trying to gain weight. People don't have enough food to eat. We don't have a job like that back in my country." I didn't know what to say, to be honest with you. Put to death the flesh. Do you know your flesh needs to die often, in fact, daily? Your spirit needs to be the one in charge, not your flesh. And one or the other, your spirit or your flesh, is going to always be in charge of your life. Fasting is a way to put down the flesh and allow your spirit to rise up and take the lead in your life. The goal of Christianity, if I could put it this way, is for your spirit to be the king of the hill, for your spirit to be the one leading you, not your flesh. And so many of us wonder so many times why Christianity's not having an impact in the Western world like it should. It's because most of us are living fleshly lives and calling ourselves Christians. Fasting's about building your spirit, crucifying your flesh. And by the way, when your flesh is in control, you eventually will find yourself in a miserable state. And others around you will probably be miserable too. Because it will be a very self-centered, selfish existence. Look at Romans 8:13, would you? Paul talked a lot about this, a lot about learning to follow the Spirit and denying the flesh. "For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die." In other words, there will be destruction brought in on almost every front. You're gonna have problems and challenges. "But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." Learn to live by God's Spirit. Put aside the things of the flesh. What are they? They're all kinds of things. Through this fast, you may need to turn the TV off. You may need to turn the computer off. You may need to turn your phone off. You may need to disconnect and put up a little thing. I'm leaving Instagram for the month. I'm leaving Facebook for the month. You may need to turn off some music that you're listening to that doesn't draw you closer to God. Whatever it is, put aside things that stir your flesh and only focus on the things that build your spirit. Number five, choose a different lifestyle. Isaiah 58:3, "Why have we fasted," they say, "and you've not seen it? And why have we humbled ourselves and you've not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you just do as you please." Paul's confronting a type of fasting that, quite honestly, it's just ritual. It's not, there's no heart behind it. It doesn't have the right motives behind it. It's just to impress or just to go through the motions. Let's make sure as we enter into a time of fasting that we're doing it to seek God and to become more like Him and to put our flesh down and to seek His face first. And by the way, if you're a parent and you're thinking, how would I ever do this with my kids or as a family? Can I just say to you that in the early days, Tracy and I treasured these times with our family, though at the beginning of the fast, and we would ask our kids to consider fasting sweets along with us, the first couple of days, quite honestly, would be a bit awkward. It'd be a bit tough, you know? We would gather around and, you know, we'd change up our routines and, you know, instead of the TV being on, we'd be sitting together in our family room and just enjoying each other's company. And you know how it is. After about 5 minutes, your kids go, "Can we turn the TV on?" "No, honey, we can't turn the TV on," you know. 5 minutes later, "How about the computer?" "No, we can't turn the computer on." 5 minutes, "Can I see your phone?" "No, you can't see my phone." But after we broke through, and usually it would take a couple of days, can I just say to you, it became some of the most beautiful connecting times as a family. We'd get a puzzle, we'd get games, we'd do things where we just connected and had fun and enjoyed each other's company. Choose a different lifestyle. Sometimes that's what's necessary. It's easy to get swept down the river by the current of this culture. Choose a lifestyle that creates connection and growth. And then lastly, number six, expect results. If you're going to fast and seek the Lord, let your faith rise. Let's dare to believe God for the impossible. Let's expect great things in this time. Amen? Let's pray some dangerous prayers. Pray bold prayers. Bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. Let's see what God can do. I don't want to be about playing church and just doing what we can do. I want to see what God can do. Isaiah 58, 8, and 9 says, "Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you'll call, and the Lord will say, you will cry for help, and he will say, I'm right here. I am right here. Here I am." I don't know about you, but let's draw close to God like we haven't before. What if God did a spiritual revival, a renewal here in our church? What if God did something new in me? What if God did something new in you? I got to tell you, one of my objectives, I am pursuing a personal revival. I want God to revive my heart. Wherever I've lost track or lost prioritization, I want him to bring that back. Listen, when you are in love, everything in life is so much easier. I love my wife, and I loved her. I love to put her before me. I love to serve her. And some of us, quite honestly, this morning, I'll just be honest with you. We need to fall deeply in love, madly in love with Jesus again. He needs to be our first love in all things. Some of you might be going, "Well, this sounds pretty hard." Not if you're in love with him. Not if he's your first love. Matthew 22, 37 says, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." Man, we can quote that, but do we really live that? John 4 says, "The Father seeks worshipers, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth." In Revelation chapter 2, one of Jesus' letters to the church, "Yet I hold this against you, you have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you've fallen. Repent." By the way, repent is not a negative word. It's a positive word. It's getting out of the way any of those things that stand between you and greater intimacy with Jesus. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I'll come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. That lampstand represents his spirit. Listen, church. If 2021 is the best spiritual year of your life, it'll be the best year of your life, regardless of what difficulties and what challenges might lay ahead, because God will be with you every step along the way. He will comfort you. He will pour his peace out on you. He will give you his joy. He will protect you. He will watch over you. I want to make sure as we close today that we are a church that is madly, passionately, deeply in love with Jesus. Are you in love today? Would you let the Lord stir that love again in your heart? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me? Lord, I just pray right now for me, for every one of us. Stir our hearts, Lord, to a deeper love, a deeper desire, a deeper thirst, a deeper hunger for you. That, Lord, we would not be satisfied with anything this world has to offer. We would desire you more than anything else. God, meet us here today and lead us into this new year, Lord, hand in hand, heart aligned with you, walking and talking with you in real intimacy. Jesus, have your way in each of our hearts and lives. And Lord, may you be our first love in all things. And we just love you and worship you today in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Would you stand with me today? Let's just give the Lord praise in this place for his goodness and kindness to us, would you? Oh, Lord, we love you. We worship you. Lord, would you let your light shine through us and your face shine upon us as we enter this new year. In Jesus' name, amen.